Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and as always, it is a pleasure to be with you. Well, 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 what a year 25 has been for markets. We've had plenty of tariff-inspired turbulence and, more recently, plenty of chatter and more than a few jitters about a potential AI bubble. But our focus today is going to be, for the most part, closer to home. It's also going to be on the year ahead because we are going to preview the year ahead for Australian equities. Well, as much as we can, that should be said. And to do that, I'm very pleased to say that I'm joined today by co-founder and lead portfolio manager at TenCap, Junbei Liu. Junbei, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a real pleasure to have you on Friends with Money.
Oh, thank you so much. Hi, Tom. Really, really good to speak with you.
We've had some fun technical issues to deal with, dear listeners. Not that you need to know about that, but Junbei has very kindly persevered. So we'll crack on and we'll get into the questions. But before we get into 2026, Junbei, I think it's always nice to, I guess, reflect on the year gone by. So looking back to 2025, I guess what stood out for you most in the Australian market? Was there anything that, I guess, really surprised you, either positively or negatively, or any particular sectors or even companies that, I guess, defied expectations?
Absolutely. Look, looking back in this year, I really think that, many of the old saying about investing has really been challenged or changed. You know, looking through some of our biggest, highest quality companies, you know, has experienced incredible volatility. You know, take example of, you know, the likes of James Hardie or CSL. And then when we talk about the volatility, it's not just small price movement, it's big price movements. And it certainly seems when these volatility take place, not many investors standing in front to try and catch it, which is quite different from what it used to be for the past few decades, particularly for those blue chip, large cap quality companies. So that really surprised, and it seems the investor has become much more shorter term in terms of their focus, in terms of the return. And then secondly, I think looking back was how incredible news headline or geopolitical issues and others has really impacted the market. And begin with the tariff, discussion, the potential prospect of that really impacted the market. And then to now, what Fed might be saying, trying to read every single word, trying to interpret what Fed are trying to do and say about the future interest rate movement is also another one. So it's really been a year of volatility, but there were lots of opportunities and, for patient investors.
Well, I think as you were saying that, Junbei, I was just thinking it just shows or goes to show that just how interconnected the world is and markets are now. Not that we didn't know that already, but just some of those factors you were talking about there kind of shows that as well.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think it's you're absolutely right. The words interconnected is it. Sometimes we think Australian market has our own its own drivers and the like, our own economic, micro ecosystem. Why should we wake up every day following what's happening in the US market? But what has really in the last 12 months really just demonstrated how closely the capital flow is linked, interlinked globally.
We'll touch on international markets and a little bit more detail a bit later on. But before we do, let's kind of crack into 2026 and our focus on Australian equities, in particular Junbei. So what are the key macro factors or the broader themes that you think will shape the performance of the ASX and I guess Australian stocks next year?
2026, I think it'll be a year that will still deliver pretty good growth for our corporates, but I think there will be changes in terms of leadership. Who's going to do better, which sector will do better, might be quite different from what it was in 2025. So I think the key theme is that the number one is what's going to happen to our interest rate and where our inflation might lie. So, clearly towards the latter part of 2025, we started seeing the inflation is becoming a lot more stubborn than we expected. RBA has turned to much more hawkish than what we expect. And not only the rate cut expectations has been wiped out, now there's a slight chance by many economists expecting end of next 2026 to be a rate rise. Now, we think that, you know, should that rate rise take place, might create a bit of problem for equities because, you know, for equity market, for share market, you know, investors like lower interest rates, investors like good corporate earnings growth and, you know, lower interest rate or at least the stabilization interest rate really provides a good environment. So if we do have inflation remain very, very sticky for the first part of the year, then that could create a bit of a tail risk or volatility, if you like, for the market. So that's number one. Now, flow on from there, we do think the corporate earnings has really has actually turned the corner somewhat for Australia. For many years, our earnings has been downgraded because of margin pressure, because of higher interest rate and the like. And this is the first time in the last 6 months, we actually, or in fact, 3 months, we started seeing corporate earnings actually doing okay, probably partially because you know, why RBA is not cutting rates. So corporate demand front, things are actually doing okay. And looking forward, even though the inflation is a bit stubborn, but corporates have managed to recuperate quite a lot of those margin that's been taken away in the last few years. So corporate earnings is actually growing. In the next 12 months, analysts are looking at between 8 to 10% earnings growth for Australian corporate, which is pretty good. And this goes on top of the good dividend that's coming back. So we do think the underlying corporate earnings and fundamental, they call it, is pretty healthy, aside from, you know, barring that we don't have an interest rate increase or, you know, sudden sharp pickup in interest in inflation to really change the picture. And then the next theme we will see in the next 12 months is that some of the AI bubble, if you like, a lot of our growth company has been sold off, you know, right in 2000, tail end 2025. Now, whilst we do, we're a little bit uncertain whether they can get, you know, all the AI investment, the data center and the like, whether you'll get enough return from it because how much money is being piled into it. But we certainly think that, you know, the whole AI benefit is really now coming through, filter through every sector. So we do think that there are beneficiaries of it. There are many companies, tech companies, growth companies using the AI, using some of those investment by other for other businesses to really drive the growth, continue to drive the growth of their company. So I think whilst the whole sector, the growth sector has been sold off in 2025, we do think that, you know, some of it will make its way back, you know, early part of the year, simply because, you know, they're not at the forefront or heavy investment end of the AI circle. And I think the last thematic, you know, we can't get away without talking about the commodities and resources. Now, commodity businesses have done quite well towards the end of 2025, simply because their earnings, commodity prices are holding up pretty well around the world. And so that means all of them have been getting pretty big earnings upgrades. Some of the precious metal, like the gold, and even some of the metal that's more linked to the sort of decarbonization cycle, such as copper and nickel and aluminium, all of these have actually done quite well. So we do think 2026 will see continuation of those, simply because the structural driver for some of the, you know, the green metals, if you like, the coppers and others. Gold prices, we think, will consolidate around where it is, you know, whilst there's many reasons why it should be higher. But we do think that, you know, the gold, equities has done incredibly well. And, you know, it's probably a more of a consolidation year than a sharp uplift from here on. So, yeah, so our view for the Australian equities are pretty constructive. I think you're still looking at high single digit to double digit growth and total return. And that's not a bad year for Australian equities. And on top of that, you know, if we have China coming back in a big way, you know, we all know China's economy has been struggling for some time. We only just started seeing some stabilization. But if it does come back in a big way, you know what? That will be even better for Australia, because, you know, after all, China's our biggest trading partner. So I do think that it will give another extra kick if it's if it does come back.
You've given us the most amazing tee up. That was so interesting to listen to. Before we kind of get into the international side of our conversation, drilling down a little bit, do you have any, I guess, particular sectors or even particular companies that you think are well positioned for 2026 or you know, on the other side are likely to face kind of some strong headwinds or anything you'll just be keeping a close eye on in particular?
Yeah, so I think for 2026, because of the opportunity across various sectors, if we take, for example, the mining sector, you know, whilst all of them look pretty good in terms of earnings, but we particularly like copper. I think Samphire is something that you will look to really, you know, buy whenever there's an opportunity, there's weakness. Even our large Australian, which is BHP, which, you know, produce over 40% in earnings from copper. So we do think that, you know, represent will be a pretty good year for this company.
Zhenbei, you've given us a great preview of Australia, but I'd love to get your thoughts on international equities heading into 2026 now as well. I appreciate it's a super broad question though. So if there are any, I guess, particular markets you'd like to focus on, then I think we'd all understand.
Of course, yeah. Look, my view is that to US market will continue to drive pretty good return. I think they, even though we talk about the AI bubble and the like, after all, I think a lot of those tech companies are investing huge amount of money, you know, into the whole ecosystem, which will drive a lot of you know, activity across that space. Whilst we don't think that, you know, your biggest such as Nvidia will continue to track even higher, but we do think what they invest in is going to drive you know, further improvement in the market. So we're pretty positive the US market. Aside from the tech side, there's been a rebasing. There's offering some opportunities. I think also the US economy, they still have expectations of one rate cut. As we mentioned before, the, you know, lower interest rate is always great, you know, for the share market, because this way people have a certainty of valuation and also create ample amount of liquidity. In the US, the Fed also have now started quantitative easing, certainly not quantitative tightening anymore. That means even more liquidity for the market, which then will drive improvement and activity in the US share market across its industrials and cyclical part of the market. So, and aside from that, we also have policy support. So there's been discussion that Trump administration is now looking at potentially deregulating the financial sector there in the US. So that will improve essentially the capital required to hold by the banks. And should that take place, that will be incredibly positive for the sector, for the financial sector there in the US, because, you know, it just simply means, again, they have more capital and they will reinvest into the market activity, as in bringing on more deals, more merger acquisitions. And, you know, a lot of those activities will further fuel the market, supporting the market. So net-net, I think next year is going to be a good year for the US equities as well. But perhaps we'll be into a little bit smaller companies, more cyclical companies than just the top and the couple of companies that you normally hear about.
Zhenbei, this has been such an interesting chat, but it would be remiss of me not to ask you one last question before we go. Do you have any broad advice or a general tip or just a thought you'd like to share with listeners, many of whom I know are investors themselves, heading into 2026?
I think 2026 will be another year of perhaps volatility. You know, I think general advice for a lot of investors is that sometimes you have to be patient. Our market is now filled with lots of impatient short-term punters, I guess. You know, and that is actually creating a lot of opportunities for someone with longer-term vision about the company. You know, so given we actually see bigger and bigger movement in share prices for when company make announcement, that really presents incredible opportunity. Sometimes, you know, very, very rare. Sometimes you don't see it for many years when some of those blue chip and quality companies being sold off in a meaningful way. So look, be patient and, you know, it's going to be a good year, and but you've got to be agile and, you know, wait for the opportunity.
Well, I can't think of a much better note to end the show than that. So, Junbei, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure chatting, and we'll look forward to having you back on the show soon.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Always love to talk about share investing. Thank you.
That is it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast. But don't forget to jump on our website, moneymag.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news. Or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, Friends of Money will be right back in your podcast feed next week. So until then, my name is Tom Watson. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.